welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of February 4th. I'm your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented South Carolinian.
Carolinian.
Melissa Hansen.
I do believe. Well, no, I don't technically live here.
No. You're just visiting.
I just happen to be here at the moment.
Yes. Yes.
Carolinians.
Yeah.
Yes. So I thought I'd, you know, South Carolina, I should avoid the snow, right?
Right.
I was hitting up in Chicago and out east. And yeah, no, guess what it did yesterday?
Are you serious? It actually snowed?
It actually snowed. And then it, you know, turned to rain and kind of back and forth a bit. But there was actual snow on the ground.
Wow.
But anyhow, I can't escape it.
You cannot. It's actually flurrying outside right now in New Hampshire as we speak. So. Although the 60-degree weather midweek this past week melted pretty much everything, so.
What's up with that?
Yeah, it's weird. It was warmer in the middle of the night than it was when the sun went down.
Nice.
Yeah, very bizarre. So anyways, what has your weekend entertainment been like?
I actually caught up and got ahead on Downton Abbey Season 3, which is in the middle of it on PBS.
Okay.
It like aired in the UK, middle of it PBS. You can buy it on DVD, and you can buy it streaming on Amazon.
Ah.
And if you buy the whole season pass on Amazon, you get all of the episodes that haven't even aired on PBS.
Oh, all right.
Y'all got that? So there's like 100 ways to watch it, and depending which way you're watching it, depends how much you have seen. So I actually watched the whole season, so I'm not going to talk that much about it because I don't want spoilers for people watching it on PBS. But we've been 10 in the three seasons now. It's 10 years.
Oh, between
with this
seasons
family,
or, oh,
which is total, like, oh, from the beginning of the first season to the end of the third, it's like a 10-year period.
All right.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
To jump, because they jump a couple of years between seasons, and then the seasons take place, you know, pretty much in a, you know, days in a row.
Yeah.
But it's same old, pretty much, you know, a couple new characters. The big one this season is Shirley MacLaine guest stars in a couple episodes.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, as the mother-in-law, the American kind of mother-in-law. She comes to visit and tells the British how they do everything wrong.
Uh-huh.
How they're behind the times and all this kind all of thing, which it just was beautiful. So she plays Elizabeth McGovern's mother.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool casting.
Yeah.
But, you know, she was great on it, but a lot of the same characters. It's a soap opera. I will call it what it is. It's a soap opera. It's just historical and British, so you feel smart watching it instead of sleazy.
Yeah.
But, well, no one has actually come back from the dead yet. Like a soap opera.
Well, that's good.
Pretty
all
damn
right.
close. Because right. we got a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
And I won't spoil any, but we got some coming this season, too.
Yeah. Now, is the show continuing on beyond this third season?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll continue. I'm not sure of dates, but yeah, it's going to get, they ain't going to go until they milk every last cent out of it. I'm sure it'll be around for a bit.
Nice.
But no, it's fun, but really it's soap opera.
Yeah. Well, and you also got caught up on Doctor Who finally.
I did get caught up on Doctor Who. So I've been very British the past couple of weeks.
Yeah. So
got caught up at the beginning, the fall.
Yes. The first part
season.
Of the season.
Kind of stuff. Wasn't overly impressed. I think I need to go back and watch them again.
Okay.
I liked some stuff they did. I liked, okay, spoilers if you haven't seen it, and that's your problem if you haven't, because it's been so long. But the whole Amy and Rory leaving, I really liked how they did it.
Yeah.
That was really nice. I'm really intrigued for Clara Oswin and see what she is, who she is, and where they're going to go from that, and how long it's going to take us to find out what the deal is. Like, how long are they going to stretch that out?
Yeah. Steven's a master at doing that, and sometimes it can be incredibly frustrating because he'll plant seeds and just will wait and wait and wait. And
yeah,
other
that's the thing. That's what I'm wondering. We may not find out. I don't think it's going to be like first episode of the spring. He finds her, and she's like, oh, I'm blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
This is how I'm blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to get maybe some bits and pieces to her for a while before we actually find out the whole deal.
Well, it took, what, three series to get us to, or two and a half to get us to River's mystery explained?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's now that we're fairly done with that. And I wonder how much she's going to be on.
I don't know. I like your theory that she's kind of done for now.
I think she might be kind of done because she's kind of written. I mean, I'm sure she'll show up. But then again, we don't see every single adventure he has.
No.
So we don't actually have to see her. We know she's going to be there from time to time, but we don't have to see her. I wonder if they're really going to do much with her at all.
Well, and the one thing I picked up from the Christmas episode, which I haven't looked to see how it's been explained on the interwebs, but it seems like there's a great deal of time that has passed since Rory and Amy disappeared to where we were when we started the Christmas episode, when he met Clara again or for the first time.
Or so not like historical timeline stuff bouncing around, but just like his life. Like he spent years
brooding.
Like, brooding.
Yeah.
Pouting. And, and, you know, Amy told him, you can't be alone.
Right.
So, yeah, in that Christmas one, we did see a different doctor.
Yep, very different. Very dark. Yeah. So, back in the last series, he was only 900-something years old, but now he is over 1,000 years old. So there's a
significant time. Yes, it's definitely been a while that he's been sitting alone.
Yeah.
And I think sitting in one spot.
Yes.
Is what it seemed to me. He hasn't been out doing. He's sitting in one spot, you know,
sulking.
Just sulking and, you know, going to the pub for a drink and back to go sit alone kind of thing.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting so from
we'll
the...
see how long he stays kind of changed. And, of course, we, you know, he's still the doctor, so he's still going to man up.
Yeah, well, and he still has that insatiable curiosity, you know.
Right. So, but we'll see the differences in him in the spring and then, you know, if, you know, Clara's going to, you know, pull him back.
Yeah, and you noticed how different the TARDIS looked.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to what it had before. It's got a much darker, much sleeker, very classic. You know, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, and they changed the opening title sequence to kind of reflect back to what the original title sequence was. And the TARDIS is starting to look like it used to back in the Patrick Troughton, Tom Baker years.
So this was interesting. And really enjoying the show, having watched some, you know, Tom Baker stuff when I was a kid, but not being a huge fan and not really knowing tons of stuff.
Right.
About the old version. It was interesting. I was looking up some stuff after the Christmas episode and to find out that there were things in the Christmas episode that were prequels to old episodes.
No kidding.
Classic 70s episodes. There was stuff with the London Underground, I guess, the like Abominable Snowman attack through there. So they kind of set stuff up in this episode because it was in the past.
Right, Victorian England.
Mm-hmm. For things that happened in, you know, 1960s and 70s episodes.
See, and that's
really
so cool
to make that connection. I think it's very cool to make that connection.
And Stephen grew up watching Doctor Who in the 60s and 70s and is well-versed in all of those stories.
That's the thing. So he can throw these tidbits in there that I'm not going to catch.
Right.
But really big fans are going to catch and appreciate.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll get more of those. So you guys, if you guys see stuff like that, drop me a line and let me know.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't miss it.
Stuff we miss. Because
I'm not going to catch it. Sorry.
All right. Well, I have been immersed in this massive Warner Brothers box set that they sent over this because of the Oscars and because Warner Brothers doesn't want to be left out. Both Paramount and Universal are celebrating their 100th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And Warner Brothers certainly doesn't want to be left out of that. So they're celebrating their 90th anniversary by releasing these massive film collections. There's a 20 film best pictures collection, which I'm working on. There's also a 20 film musicals collection. And then there's this 50 and 100 film box sets. Yeah.
Wowzers.
Big stuff. Of course, they didn't send those over because those are extremely expensive.
Yeah.
So out of this 20 film collection, there are three films that we have not reviewed on DVD Verdict. The first one was 1929's Broadway Melody, which was the very first musical talking, singing, full-length musical.
The Squawkies.
Yeah, right. So the Jazz Singer was in 27, and that was a talking drama that had some musical numbers in it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is considered the first, the defining musical genre picture.
Okay.
And after 2 hours of listening to 1920s Broadway music with the same songs playing over and over again, I was ready to kill myself. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough. Okay. But it's early, and it was released. This thing made $4 million at the box office in 1929. And that's when ticket prices were 35 cents a ticket. To make $4 million.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy.
several months before the stock market crashed and sent us into a Great Depression.
Okay.
So historically, it's just a phenomenal piece of history.
Yeah.
From a cinematic standpoint, it's brutal to have to sit through. And then I moved on to The Best Years of Our Lives, which was William Wyler's look at three servicemen from three different branches coming home back to America after the end of World War II.
Okay.
Which was heartbreaking and romantic and uplifting and definitely deserving of a Best Picture of that year. I think it was 1946. But had never seen it before. Well worth taking, again, about 2.5 hours to watch that one. They made some really long pictures back in the day.
Yeah, they did.
And then I sat through Ben-Hur.
Oy.
Which I'd never seen before. That thing is 3.5 hours long.
Long, yeah.
Two discs. Charlton Heston. It's basically... So, Judah Ben-Hur is this person whose life kind of paralleled Christ. So he was born at the same time, and all of the events in Christ's life and Ben-Hur, they kind of parallel each other, and they cross, a la Doctor Who, they kind of cross time streams or timelines.
Okay.
So you see, you never see Jesus from the front. You always see him from an over-the-shoulder shot. He never talks. He's always, you know.
Okay.
But it's certain things like the Sermon on the Mount, his crucifixion, the Pontius Pilate, all these characters. And it's called Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ, but it's really about this guy. But the parallels to Ten Commandments are so blatantly obvious. The films are set up almost exactly the same way. Instead of Moses and Ramesses, you have Ben-Hur, who's a Jewish prince, and you have, what's his name? The Roman tribune, who's like the second in command governing Judea for Caesar. And they grew up together as boys, and they were best friends, and there's gay subtext there. But then they turn on each other because they're trying to identify, the Romans are trying to identify and get rid of Jesus through his followers, and Judah knows who some of these people are. And when he won't capitulate, they become bitter enemies, and then they start trying to destroy each other.
Okay.
So it's really long. The first hour is painfully slow, and then it starts to kick in when you get into the more kind of epic sweeping battles and the chariot race, which is famous. You'll see clips of it everywhere.
Yeah, that's all I really know about it.
And my God, just what Wyler did, you know, these big pictures like Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments or Cleopatra or this, where you use 15,000 extras. There's no CGI. You have 15,000 people in the stands. And they filmed this all in Italy, and it was just, it's mind-blowing to watch, but just to process through it and to see the parallels between Ten Commandments, and you're like, I've seen this before. And it was only like 4 years later after Ten Commandments was released.
Okay.
So anyways, I've talked enough about it, but the set goes from that 1929 Broadway melody all the way up to Martin Scorsese's The Departed in 2006.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty, quite a scope.
Yep, includes Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, includes One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Casablanca, Gone with the Wind, An American in Paris, Around the World in 80 Days with David Niven, which is one of my favorite films of all time, Clint Eastwood's Million Dollar Baby. So if you have a bucket list of films that you want to, that have not seen, classic films, this is a good place to start knocking stuff off.
All right.
So I'm writing that up. That'll post on DVD, The Verdict, this week. But at the box office, I'm amazed because there was only one film that did surprisingly well for its genre, and everything else was very quiet this week.
Yeah, it was very quiet. There's one, $20 million, number one made, so not great, but kind of what it's been. But Warm Bodies.
Yeah.
The zombie romance one.
Zombie rom-com.
The zombie rom-com came in first with $20 million, and then number two was just over $9
million. Yeah.
So less than half as much, and that was Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which has only made like $35 million total.
Right.
So Silver Linings Playbook hanging in there at number three, which is over $8 million. Mama, just under $7 million. And then Zero Dark Thirty, just over $5
million. Right. And poor Sylvester Stallone,
much.
Bullet to the Head, came in at $4 million this week.
Mm-hmm.
Just his box office appeal just isn't there anymore. Amazing. I'm shocked. Coming up next week, we've got three films of note. well, four if you want to count Tony Scott's Top Gun in 3D, as if the world was clamoring to see Tom Cruise in 3D.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there's that. Horrible Bosses, Seth Gordon directs, Jason Bateman, Melissa McCarthy, John Favreau, and Amanda Peet, which are four very funny people.
Yeah.
In a comedy called Identity Thief.
Yeah, it looks funny, but it looks bad. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could really go either way on that.
Yeah. Comedies do... It's kind of a crapshoot in terms of how it'll perform next week, so I'm curious to see if it'll be at the top. Or if Warm Bodies will continue its word of mouth and stay up there. We've got the indie film The Playroom, about four kids who are up in an attic, you know, acting out this fantastic tale. And then you've got their two sets of parents who are downstairs in the living room who have their own unusual drama going on. So if you like kind of, you know, very intricate indie dramas, that may be for you. We've also got a movie that stars Channing Tatum, Jude Law, Mimi Gummer, and Catherine Zeta-Jones. Mimi is Meryl Streep's daughter.
Yes.
It's a movie called Side Effects. It's the story of a woman whose new anti-anxiety medication is having unexpected problems or complications. And that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a quiet week at the box office. Coming to DVD, if you're planning to stay home and you want to see what's coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week, we've got a double dose of Tyler Perry. You've got Tyler Perry in Alex Cross.
Yes.
James Patterson's Alex Cross. And then you've got Madea Gets a Job.
Okay.
Which is the filmed version of his latest stage play. And he's got this whole theater troupe in Atlanta that they're constantly churning out. Stage production.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah, he's had a few of those released already on DVD. Yeah. And it's, not a typical movie. It's the stage production they filmed.
And they literally film the stage with an audience. It's usually one of the final dress rehearsals that they do. Yeah. I did the Christmas play that they did. I reviewed it for Verdict. And I was amazed. I was, you know, it's as a theater person who enjoys going to theater.
Yeah, I think it's so great. You know, that we have live theater taped so everyone can watch it. Just, dear God, why is it Tyler Perry? I don't want to watch Tyler Perry. I want to watch, you know, B.B. Newworth. I want to watch, you know, good plays.
Right, the revival of Glengarry Glen Ross with Al Pacino. Or
please? No. No, we get Tyler Perry. All right, then.
All right. So very different sides of Tyler Perry this week.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the Alex Cross?
I did not, because that is some of my favorite books ever and one of my favorite characters ever created. And from what I hear, they pretty well trash it.
Oh, no. Did you read that book?
I will someday, but I think I'll have to get really drunk first.
Did you read I, Alex Cross, on which the movie is based?
Yeah, I don't know how much is based on an actual novels. Because, then again, they, change so much.
That's true.
I mean, even with...
Along Came a Spider and Kiss the Girl.
It's closer than the Morgan Freeman ones, but it's still not the same. It's not.
All right.
I read... Pat Noggle reviewed it for us. And I read the review, and it's like he's got a daughter instead of all the kids, and then, it's not a mom. I don't know.
We'll just let that be.
It's really great writing. It's really great characters.
Yeah.
I don't know why they just don't fucking use them.
Yeah.
Just use what's on the damn page. It's good. I don't know why they feel they have to change shit.
Right. Moving on. Walt Disney's classic Peter Pan is on Blu-ray this week, which I'm writing up the review for. And there's included in this, and I'm a sucker for this. I'm a huge Disney fanatic. Mm-hmm. There is a documentary called Growing Up with Nine Old Men that was done by Frank Thomas's son, who looks exactly like his father. And he basically went around and interviewed all of the kids of the animators who were Walt's Nine Old Men, these guys who created these classic films, to find out what their life was like at home.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was amazing. It was heartwarming. It was just how different... You know, some of them didn't bring any of their Disney life home with them. They did stuff that was completely different. John Lounsbury's life, he loved working out in the farm and cutting barbed wire and laying bricks and stuff. And then the man would go and draw these amazingly beautiful characters, you know, at work. It was just a really touching 45-minute documentary that I'm glad I saw. Cabaret is coming to Blu-ray this week. Liza Minnelli, Joel Grey, for which our editor Tom Becker attended the New York City premiere this past week. And he emailed me afterwards and he said, that was fucking amazing. So he's like, he was so close to Liza Minnelli. He said, I got a contact tie.
Oh, that's so neat.
So, yeah. Good. Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson are in A Star is Born from 1976. That is also coming to Blu-ray from Warner Brothers this week. I watched part of it on Amazon Prime on HD earlier this week in the middle of a windstorm, which then knocked out our power, so I didn't get to see the rest of it. But that thing is painful. That is so dated right now, so 70s. And Kristofferson plays this kind of country rock singer who has lost his mind. He just doesn't care anymore. And yeah, it's just, it's over the top. It's, yeah, it's painful.
All right.
Best Picture nominee, Flight, starring Denzel Washington, Don Cheadle, and John Goodman. And John Goodman has two Best Pictures this year.
Is it Argo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Imagine that. Like Roseanne's TV husband.
Right.
All right, then.
Kevin James in Here Comes the Boom, and then we've got Keanu Reeves' acclaimed digital filmmaking documentary, A Side by Side, in which he talks to a lot of modern directors about the difference between shooting on film and shooting on tape or, you know, on digital format. So,
okay.
Over at Netflix, dramatic stuff. Terms of Endearment, Ordinary People, Love Story, and then Breakdown, which I think you and I saw, right? It was Kurt Russell and Kathleen Quinlan.
That was bad. Don't watch
it. Yeah, it was bad.
It's like a decent idea. It's just, it's, it would have been a good TV episode, not a movie. Don't waste your time. Okay. There's your tip of the week.
There you go. Over at Hulu, Your Mom Will Be Happy, the three most recent Jesse Stone telefilms for CBS, starring the one and only Tom Selleck.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Well, this week we've got Jawbreaker, which is kind of like Mean Girls 2, right? It's Rose McGowan, Rebecca Gayhart, and Julie Benz are three high school girls who accidentally kill the prom queen.
Yeah, it's not Mean Girls.
No, it's not.
It's alternate universe Mean Girls.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then we've got Carla Gugino as a porn star who gets pregnant in Electra Lux with
Brady,
Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Timothy Oliphant, and Kathleen Quinlan. Again, Kathleen Quinlan.
She's everywhere.
This week. All right, that's all I've got for streaming media this week.
Okay, well, TV this week on Monday, Rules of Engagement is still around,
no
and
kidding.
It is back on CBS. Wow. So, all you David Spade fans.
I guess, or Patrick Warburton. Yep.
Yes. So, and then Tuesday on NBC, Smash is back.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually go watch, I think it's a longer premiere, you can watch part of it on Hulu right now. You can preview it if you want. Don't want to wait till Tuesday. And then on Comedy Central, Tosh.0 is back again with new stuff.
Creating friends and enemies at the same time.
Yes. And then Thursday, Community is fine.
Oh, all right.
Phew.
Yeah, well, we'll see. The jury is still out because this is the new and improved Community, minus Dan Harmon.
Yeah, like you can improve it, please. Well, but we'll see what happens this season with it. But anyhow, it is back. And then Friday, I got really excited looking through this. And I got a little confused, but excited. And then I went, oh, CBS has a new show called The Job.
The Job, like Dennis Leary's The Job?
It has nothing to do with Dennis Leary being a funny policeman.
Okay.
It's a reality show about getting a job at a casino, whatever. But then on Fox, Touch is back.
Ah, Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
All right.
Saturday, Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown is going to be on ABC.
It's good. It's not Christmas or Halloween, but...
No, but it's good. So anyhow, that's on if you want to catch it. And then Sunday, CBS has the Grammys.
Oh, yeah. Award season.
And NBC has wacky counter-programming. Ready for the title? Betty White's second annual 90th birthday special. They did this last year. They did a birthday special for her. She was 90. And they're doing another one.
Oh.
And after that is Saturday Night Live in the 80s.
Oh, all right. Well, that could be interesting.
Yeah. And all you zombie fans, who obviously there are because you're going to the movies this week, but you're going to be in front of your TV Sunday night because The Walking Dead is back on AMC.
They split their season two then, huh? They
did fall. Yeah, it's a split thing, okay. So I don't even know what season it technically is, but it's back.
All right.
There you go. Music this week, Josh Groban has a new CD called All the Echoes. And Tim McGraw has a new one.
No kidding.
Two Lanes of Freedom. With that. And then Harry Connick Jr. has a new album.
Wow.
Called Smoky Mary. I guess it's one of the typical parades in Mardi Gras. One of the like floats or something. That he gets the name from. Okay. I don't know. Don't ask me. But the Julianne Hough crazy movie, because she's still making them, which is surprising.
Yeah.
Safe Haven, it's not a musical. It's like more of a thriller thing, like Woman on the Run, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Josh Duhamel's in it. Anyhow, the soundtrack for that is out. Hmm. And it's got some Colby Calais.
Oh, I like her.
And Jason Mraz do a song on that.
All right.
So anyhow, okay. I'm not even going to make you say it this week because we all know whose name we're going to stop.
Yes. How do we ever have a week where Patterson is not on the list?
Very, very rare. Right.
Okay.
But this one is The Kiss, which is number four in the Witch and Wizard series, which is one of his young adult series.
Okay.
And it's written with Jill Dombrowski.
All right.
So that is out. Hmm. And Sashi Parker.
Okay.
Lucky Me, My Life With and Without My Mom, Shirley MacLaine.
Oh.
Shirley MacLaine has one child, a daughter, who was actually raised in Japan by her father.
Shut up.
Yeah. So she didn't grow up much with, I mean, she had Shirley MacLaine as her mother, but she didn't grow up living in the same house with her a lot.
Right. You didn't have the Hollywood influence.
Yeah. So that should be interesting on many levels. Yeah. But that's out. And then Argo is being re-released.
Oh.
And the actual title is Argo, How the CIA and Hollywood Pulled Off the Most Audacious Rescue in History.
Okay. Yeah, it was co-written by the Canadian ambassador whose house they used.
So that is out for fans of the movie if you want to read it.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of fans, Downton Abbey script book season one. Mm. So the actual script from season one put in book form. So Julian Fellowes, who created and wrote all that.
Yeah.
That is out. And then all you Southern Cooking fans.
Uh-oh, Paula Deen?
Not quite.
Oh.
Bobby Deen.
Oh.
Sons. But it's called From Mama's Table to Mine, Everybody's Favorite Comfort Foods at 350 calories or less.
Huh.
And he actually has a TV show where he takes those classics, a lot of his mother's kind of stuff, and makes them healthier.
Of course he does.
That's out if you are a fan of healthy Southern cooking or of the whole Deen family. You could check that out. And theater news this week is actually a movie news, too.
Oh.
But it's kind of too big to not share.
Huh.
Rob Marshall, who directed Chicago.
Yeah. And a terrible Pirates of the Caribbean sequel.
Is directing Into the Woods.
Oh.
So, classic play. He's directing it, and they just cast one of the leads.
Oh.
Meryl Streep.
Shut up. So, wow.
Pretty big news.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure to share that, because I'm excited about that.
Interesting.
So I'll keep you updated. Obviously, we'll keep you updated when that's actually coming out. So, like I said, it's obviously just at the casting point.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Bernadette Peters had the huge... That was a huge show for her on Broadway, Into the Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. A lot of famous people have been in that.
Okay.
It's been around. There's been different, you know, obviously stagings of it.
Right.
So, yeah. So, this should be interesting to keep an eye on.
Especially since fairy tales are so big right now with... Once Upon a Time and Grimm and
right. So this should be cool. Meryl Streep's playing the witch. So
wow,
yeah, we'll keep you updated that's into production.
Okay, well, I have an award of my own this week.
Okay,
for dumbest title to a sequel.
Excellent.
The winner is Muppets Again.
Yes.
Holy crap.
Like, most boring title to a sequel.
Seriously, Disney, that's the best you can come
up with?
They're
not even, like, taking something.
My God. You know? And from what I understand, they're basically taking the format of Great Muppet Caper. because it took place in London. They're over in London shooting. It's a heist movie. So
yeah, but it's Ricky Gervais and Tina Fey, and nothing could be better. So
oh, really? I didn't know that.
They can make whatever title they want. They can do whatever they want with it, because that's all I care about.
All right. Well, we'll see. The jury's out in my book. Ben Affleck adds to his trophy collection with the Directors Guild Award for Argo, setting him up as the front runner for the Oscar to win. Oh, no, he can't because he wasn't nominated. Imagine that.
Oh, wait, huh? Uh-huh.
Yep. Steven Spielberg is expected to take that award home on Oscar night for Lincoln.
Yeah.
But it's hard to argue when your own peers give you the award. You know?
Exactly. This, to me, the Academy, who cares? It's these that really matter more.
Yeah. And the last time this happened, the same exact situation happened to Ron Howard for Apollo 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, up yours, Academy. Marvel Films creative consultant Mark Millar confirms that the Sentinels will play a huge role in Bryan Singer's X-Men Days of Future Past, an alternate reality tale which is going to take place in 1973 and involves Wolverine and a time-traveling Kitty Pryde, who are kind of out to set the timeline straight. It's like Doctor Who, right? You go back in time and you mess things up and then you have to fix it. But Hugh Jackman and Ellen Page are going to reprise their roles, as are Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen and all the other X-Men, X-Folks, but Millar promises that X-Men fans will not be disappointed in the adaptation of this truly classic tale by writer Chris Claremont and artist John Byrne.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That title is very, very sexist. We should make them change it. I really think we should do a crusade.
Oh, boy.
X-People? Yeah. Something like that. All right.
With Mark Wahlberg now fronting the Transformers franchise, Michael Bay promises a leaner, meaner Transformers for the start of a new trilogy, which picks up 4 years after Dark of the Moon and features an entirely new cast.
I wish it didn't feature Michael Bay. Then maybe that would save it.
You know, he wasn't going to do it, and then Paramount gave him money to do these other smaller projects that he's working on. And he oversaw the ride creation for Universal Studios. And then he's like, oh, I want to do another Transformers movie. So they said, sure.
But I want to.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You know how everybody was kind of moaning, like, oh, no, Twilight's over and we're not going to have any more vampire movies. Guess what? There's an entirely new vampire movie franchise in the works called Vampire Academy.
Oh, good Lord.
Which crossbreeds the blood-sucking legend with Harry Potter's School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. But the interesting thing is, Mean Girls director Mark Waters is helming this from a script by Heather's screenwriter.
Ooh, interesting.
But still, it's vampires in school. Teen vampires in school. Please.
All right, Tom.
Disney has released images from its latest animated feature, Frozen, which is a new take on the classic Ice Queen tale. Kristen Bell, Idina Menzel star, with music by Book of Mormon's Robert Lopez.
Cool.
So that could be interesting. But the death knell for this picture here is the inclusion of Jonathan Groff as one of the co-stars, the leading male. So
yeah,
that guy annoyed the crap out of me on Glee. And
Yeah, I'm kind of over him. All right.
Last but not least, American Horror Story and Walking Dead get some boundary-pushing competition this spring as the Bates Motel premieres March 18th on A&E. So it's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory's Freddie Highmore, all grown up, and up in the air is Vera Farmiga. You know, they play the creepiest shit mother and son team.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and the trailers and the posters they keep putting out are really disturbing. You know, guys hanging themselves and lit on fire. Oh, my God. Norman! So, I don't know. I think the television horror is really starting to kind of go beyond the acceptable boundaries, and we're going to see where this is going to take the genre. But that's all I've got. Of course, now we're talking American horror, which you can go right into Kardashians.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, so Kardashian, technically, Chris Humphries is still Kardashian family.
Oh. God, this divorce is going to take forever.
So we're going to do Chris Humphries. Recently, he was sued. Ready?
Yeah.
By this woman called Kayla Goldberg, who said that they had sex. They had unprotected sex.
And she had a baby.
2010. No.
Oh.
She got herpes from him. She got herpes from him. Right. So anyhow, Chris finally filed his documents.
Okay.
This is a court case. She's full out sued him.
Oh, my God.
So with his test results, they're sealed, but his herpes test results, and they are negative.
All right.
So you can all rest easier.
Yes.
The Humphreys does not have herpes.
And the courts are now not clogged, so that makes way for whatever they're suing Lindsay Lohan for these days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, and on that bombshell, we will wrap up this week's show. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, head over to DVD Verdict and check out all of our reviews. But in the meantime, until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Well, and they can also check out our contest this week.
Oh.
Which is going to be the Hardy Boys on DVD.
Oh, wow.
So we'll head over and maybe you can win that. Yeah, Lucky Ducks.
Stevenson and Sean Cassidy and all of their flowing hair. 70s feathered hair.
Yes, you don't want to miss out on that, people. I'm telling you. All right. But yeah, till next week, goodbye again. As if you didn't know, it's goodbye again. And I wish you could tell me, why do we always fight when I have to go? Goodbye.